The first scripture reading for today comes from 2 Kings 2, 1 through 12. Elijah disappears into the cloud of a chariot of fire, which completely changes the plans of Elisha. That our scripture today teaches us how to value every single moment that the Lord gives us without placing too much value in our plans. Let us read. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to the heavens in a whirlwind, Elijah said to Elisha, "We are on our way from the Gilead. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel." But Elisha said, "No, as surely as the Lord gives and lives, and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of the prophets of Bethel came out to Elisha and asked, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master from you today?" "Yes, I know," Elisha replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, Elisha. The Lord has sent me to Jericho." Then he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So they went to Jericho. The company of the prophets of Jericho went up to Elisha and asked him, "Do you know that the Lord is going to take your master away from you today?" "Yes, I know," he replied, "but do not speak of it." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here. The Lord has sent me to the Jordan." And he replied, "As surely as the Lord lives and as you live, I will not leave you." So the two of them walked on. 50 men of the company of the prophets went and stood at a distance, facing the place where Elijah and Elisha stopped at the Jordan. Elijah took off his cloak, rolled it up, and struck the water. The water divided to the right and to the left, and the two of them crossed over on dry ground. When they had crossed over, Elijah said, "Tell me, what can I do for you before I am taken from you?" "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha said. "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said, "yet if you see me when I am taken from you, it will be yours, otherwise not." As they were walking along and talking together, suddenly a chariot of fire and horses of fire appeared and separated the two of them, and Elijah went up in heaven in a whirlwind. Elisha saw this and cried out, my father, the chariots and the horsemen of Israel." And Elisha saw him no more. Then he took hold of his own clothes and tore them.
So you may not have realized it, but when you stepped into church today, you began a journey. And it's going to be a journey that's going to take you all the way to April Fool's Day, which happens this year to be Easter Sunday. Today is not the beginning of Lent. We'll wait for that on Wednesday. But it is the beginning of our time to step away from Romans for a little bit, and we're going to be looking at a gospel that I have hardly covered at all in my years here, and that's the gospel of Mark. And Mark is seen as one of the first gospels, if not the first gospel that was ever written. It is the shortest, and much of what we find in the other gospels, people think that John and Luke and Matthew kind of saw what Mark had written, or at least heard from Mark and used that as part of their material as well. So we're beginning this journey today. It's a journey which we said isn't quite Lent, and yet on Tuesday we're also going to find ourselves finishing up our 50-day challenge, right? We made our way all the way through the New Testament. We made our way all the way through now Genesis on the 50-day challenge, and now what we're going to be starting next Sunday is what you see behind us. Now, I know this may not apply to all of you, and some of you may see that and think, Is that an animal? Is that, you know, you may not be really sure what exactly that means, but please know that starting next Sunday, I'm going to introduce this concept, and I'll have more for you next week. So just a warning: get in all of your Candy Crush, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and any other activities that you may take part in on your cell phone. Do that now, because starting next Sunday we're going to go silent. I hope, and it's for your own good. And you know, this isn't a public safety announcement, but I did begin training again. I took off about a year and a half, and I stopped doing anything except watching football on TV, and I'm beginning to train now for the Garden Spot Half Marathon. And I went out yesterday morning as part of my training and ran down, I think it's that Bunker Hill Road, you know, that really steep hill before you get to the greenhouse there. And I was running down on the left-hand side, and I noticed a truck was coming my way. It was daylight. It was yesterday. And a truck was coming my way as I was running down, and I noticed he wasn't giving me much room. And I, you know, if you know that hill, there is like no room on the left side. So he was getting closer and closer until I could see that he was on his cell phone. So I gingerly, daintily, gracefully jumped into the ditch, and he kept going. I don't think he ever even saw me. So next Sunday we are going to be finding out how do we give Jesus our undivided attention. So device-free Lent is primarily to focus on Jesus, but you never know, it just might save your pastor's life. So today we're going to look at the Transfiguration. That's where we find ourselves, the Sunday of the Transfiguration, and it's a scripture that I'm going to be reading speaks about this event that is called the Transfiguration, and hopefully you'll hear and understand why it's called that. But the impact that Jesus' Transfiguration had on Peter and on the other disciples was not insignificant. It created a reality where Peter was faced with an inevitable change in plans. He thought he had everything planned out exactly as it was supposed to be, but God put a detour in his plans and told him to go the other way. So how do we react when we are faced with a change in our life plans? Today we are told to listen. Listen to Jesus, put away our preconceived solutions, and look for God's plan in the midst of a cloud. Let's go ahead and read. We're in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. The Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 2 through 9. So 6 days later, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain apart by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. That was, his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make 3 dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." Now he didn't know what to say, for they were terrified. And then a cloud overshadowed them, and from the cloud there came a voice, "This is my Son, the Beloved. Listen to him." And suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Loving God, we do ask you now that the words of my mouth, the meditation of all of our hearts, that they would be worthy and acceptable in your sight. For you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the Transfiguration doesn't tend to make it in the top 10 moments of Jesus' life. What you see before you is a painting that's found in the Sistine Chapel. A painting that depicts not just the Transfiguration, but some other scenes in the gospel around that story. But it doesn't seem to make the top 10. We have the birth of Jesus. We have the resurrection of Jesus. We have all of the different miracles of Jesus. And they tend to squeeze out somewhat this event that we just read in chapter 9. But it is an absolutely crucial event in the life of Jesus, and especially in the life of his disciples. So let's set the stage a little bit for what happens in this story that we just read. And in order to do that, we have to understand the relationship between Jesus and his disciple Peter, okay? So we need to think of that relationship, and to catch some better insight into that relationship, we'll go a chapter back. So if you want to look in your Bibles, look at chapter 8, and you'll see an exchange between Jesus and Peter that really highlights their relationship. When you look at verse 29 of chapter 8, we have a setting where Jesus has asked his disciples, "So who do people say that I am?" And others say John the Baptist or Elijah and others. And then he says, "No, now who do you say that I am?" So he's asking their disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" And verse 28, we hear Peter give the right answer. Peter doesn't always give the right answer. Peter's one of my favorite disciples because he really messes up. And when he messes up big time. And I'm grateful to see that because I can take some assurance in that. But here he gets it right. He says, "You are the Messiah. You are the Messiah." So he gets that right. And so we think that in verse 29, he's finally figured things out until we find ourselves in verse 33. So we're just four verses past that. We're still in chapter 8. Still four verses past that time that Peter gets it right. And then all of a sudden, in verse 33, we hear Jesus addressing Peter, and he says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Let's listen to that sentence, because that's a key sentence, not just for this week, but also what we're going to look at next week as well. Okay, so remember this phrase in verse 33 in chapter 8. "For you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." So this chastisement, this rebuke by Jesus is very different from what we hear in verse 28. And Jesus says the reason why you are chastised is because you did not set your mind on divine things. So what happened? Well, what happened is if you go back to verse 31, we see that Jesus is teaching his disciples, "Listen, this is what I'm about to go through. I'm about to be beaten. I'm about to be killed." And that was not a part of Peter's plan. That was not a part of what Peter had imagined and thought was going to happen. He thought Jesus was going to establish his kingdom and his reign right there on earth. None of this getting persecuted, getting beaten, and getting killed, that is not part of the plan. And so this rebuke that we see takes place because Peter says in verse 32, "Jesus, that's not going to happen. That's not part of the plan." So we already know, before we dive into chapter 9, that the plans that Peter has for Jesus and the plans that Jesus has for himself are very, very different. In fact, we know that Peter's plans were a result of him setting his mind on human things and not on divine things. And Peter's plans were not reflective of God's plans. So we get that, and that's where we're starting when we dive into chapter 9, when we look at this story of the Transfiguration. So let's go to chapter 9 now. With that thought in mind, and also with the thought in our mind, so what are our plans like? Are we focusing on human things, or are we focusing on divine things? So we'll get there. Jesus calls Peter, James, and John, and then he takes them up a mountain. And this is quite a request, because in the past they had seen Jesus wander off by himself. And we see that in Scripture over and over again, where Jesus goes up a mountain, and we read that he goes up a mountain to speak with his Father. So whenever we see him wander off by himself, we know that he's going off to pray by himself. This is the only place in Scripture, until we get to the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus says, "Come with me." So there's this invitation to Peter, James, and John, where Jesus says, "Come with me as I go up the mountain." So that's a pretty privileged position. So maybe Peter is thinking, you know what? Jesus forgot all about that bonehead comment I made 6 days ago. Right? That's how that scripture starts. And 6 days later, so maybe so much has happened over these last 6 days that Jesus forgot all about what I said, and that whole "get behind me, Satan" thing, that was, he didn't really mean that, right? So he has invited me to come up the mountain with him. So I'm back on his good side, just like when I called him the Messiah. That was pretty good. I mean, he really liked that when I called him the Messiah. So maybe he's focusing more on the way that I did the right thing there. So it's just Jesus, these three disciples, they walk up on the mountain, and his clothes become, the clothes of Jesus become dazzling. White as snow. The scripture says whiter than any bleach that you could use. You know the kid's shirt for the Italy mission trip? The black shirts. So we made a tactical mistake when we created them. So they're black and we sprayed bleach on them. What happens when you spray bleach on clothes? They become holy. So we have holy t-shirts for our Italy mission trip, but they're also somewhat white, but not as white as Jesus became, as scripture says, more than any bleach could have made it white. But that's not unusual either in scripture. We see people in scripture who are transformed and transfigured. We read in Daniel about the Son of Man, who becomes dazzling white. We read about Moses when he's face to face with God, and he's also shining and white as well. But what we also know is that for the early Christians, and also for the people of Israel, someone who was wearing white represented someone who was a martyr, someone who had given of their life for the faith. So when we see Jesus transfigured in dazzling white, it should be another reminder to his disciples that the plans that you had, that he's going to establish that kingdom here on earth with you, are not his plans. His plans are those plans where he is going to give of his life and then be raised again. Those were the plans, and that's almost a reminder to Peter that the plans that he didn't like didn't really fit into God's plans. But now not only do we see Jesus' clothes turn white, but Moses and Elijah show up, and we hear that they're talking with Jesus. So things have really become incredible, and the disciples, when they're there, must realize that something transformative, something life-changing is happening right in front of their eyes. And it should make them think less of earthly things and more of divine things. In verse 6, we see that Peter is euphoric, but he's also terrified. That's how he's described, more terrified than euphoric. And we don't hear that he's terrified until we hear of his plan. You read about his plan in verse 5. "Jesus, I have a great idea. Let's build little prisons so that you can be out of the bad weather when it comes." Now, he doesn't use the word prisons, right? "Let's build little booths so that we can capture you and keep you there, so that any time we need some deep thoughts, we can climb up this mountain and be able to dive into your wisdom. So that way we can just capture you and keep you here on the mountain." You know, Elisha, in our first scripture today, he had his plans to follow Elijah wherever he went. Because he knew the end was near, and he didn't want to let go of him. He wanted that blessing from Elijah. And in every place where he went, people of God, prophets of the Lord, will come out and say, "Now you know he doesn't have long to live." And Elijah's response for each of those times was, "Yes, I know, but don't talk to me about it. I don't want to hear about it. I have my plan. I know what I'm doing. Don't talk to me." And Elisha had his plan, and nothing and no one was going to sway him from that plan, even if a whole host of people were sent to him by God. And likewise, we find Peter is terrified. He didn't know what to say or to think, so his mouth started working before his mind did, because he had his mind set on earthly things. So let's keep you here. His plans were still plans that focused solely on his life, on this earth, and his desires, and his hopes, and his dreams, not that which God had for him. And you can cut him a break, because he was terrified. And what's happening in front of him was not a part of his plan. The young couples group, Sunday school class, is meeting, and we're looking at a video by Tony Evans called Detours. And he speaks about these detours that we all have in our lives. Times in our lives when God's plans and our plans don't necessarily match up, and so we choose to take our plans. And so God will send us on a detour in order for us to learn and in order for us to get to our destination better equipped than we were before we had that detour. And he uses the story of Joseph, which we're reading through now in our 50-day challenge. He uses the story of Joseph to see how God's detours ultimately create a Joseph who is perfectly positioned to do what he did in the Old Testament, to save the people of Israel in a very practical way. I know when we first started ministry, our plan was to serve in Italy for 7 years and then spend the rest of our time together in China. That was our plan. Praise be to God that our plans were not his plans, right? What about you? What change in plans happened in your life? Maybe you were planning on studying to be a nurse, and at the first sight of blood, you fainted and you realized, "This is not for me." Maybe you were planning on having children and that didn't happen, but you spent your entire life being a mother and a father to more children than you ever imagined you would have. Maybe you were planning on buying a house and that hasn't worked out. Maybe you were planning on being happily married for the rest of your life. Maybe you were planning that your kid would be just like every other kid. So what change in plans have you had in your life? And we've all had them. I can tell you, when you look at verse 7 in chapter 9, we are given the first step of the process, the first step of the journey. When there is a change in our plans, what are we supposed to do? Verse 7 gives us that answer. Right after Peter's proclamation, a dark cloud appears, and a voice of God comes from that cloud and says, "Listen to him. Listen to Jesus. Listen to him. This is my beloved son." And God's response to Peter's reaction to his fear and his plans made out of fear is, "Listen to him." You know, First Presbyterian, we have had our plans consistently changed throughout our 185-year history. This past week, when we heard about Tim's resignation and move from a music maker to a house parent at Hershey, it wasn't expected. It came out of the blue. So we are now in a season of listening to what God would have us do. And I have consistently been amazed that when we do listen, God opens so many doors to our music ministry. Since Tuesday, doors have opened which we didn't even know existed. And I'm sad by the departure, yet I'm almost giddy to see and listen to where God is leading us, as long as we listen. We can't step into this process with preconceived ideas as to where God is leading us, because if you're anything like me, when there's a problem, I have a box solution, right? And so that solution is my go-to thing. And so we pull that out, and what we find is not every boxed solution works for every situation. And when you have a box solution, you don't listen. We have to listen to God. We can't step into this process with preconceived ideas of where God might be leading us. So we need to listen and not build our booths around any person or individual, and we think that we may have pegged to be able to go back consistently. So we will all face changes in our plans, and when those changes happen, it can be terrifying, whether within a community like this, within this family, or within our own individual lives. We can choose to act like Elisha and tell those around us to be quiet because we've already made up our minds and we know what our plans are going to be. So don't talk to me about it. We can face them like Peter and blurt out the first thing that comes to our mind, which is inevitably something that is for our good as individuals, to protect our interests, our earthly way of thinking, and not what the divine will of God might be. So our choice is fairly clear in the Transfiguration. We are called to listen to Jesus in the midst of the cloud. In the cloud, you know, you can't always see clearly. But Jesus has been speaking to us even before we walked into the cloud. He's been telling us to follow him. So a change in plans necessitates often a change in heart. But it's only when we listen to him will we understand what that means. May God bless us and keep us as we look to follow him in changes of plans. Let us pray. Loving Lord, we do come before you now. And we give you thanks because you are the one who's guiding and directing us. And as we face detours, as we face times in our lives, either individually or as a congregation that seem to throw us off, sometimes our first reaction is one of fear. Then we go back to that which we know, oftentimes without listening to you. So watch over us now as we continue to recognize that there are going to be changes in plans in all of our lives. Help our first step when that happens, help that first step to be one of listening. And we pray this now in your holy name. Amen.